بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. ونبي عيسى المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله تعالى حرم عليكم عقوق الأمهات ومنع النوهات ووأد البنات وكره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال، متفق عليه. قوله منعا معناه منع ما وجب عليه، وهات طلب ما ليس له. The narrator of this hadith is a Sahabi by the name of Abu Isa. Abu Isa was his kunyat. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very, very famous Sahabi, accepted Islam on the day of the Khandaq, that is the Battle of the Trench. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with great intelligence, eloquence, wisdom, foresight. He was greatly honored by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who appointed him as the governor of Basra. Then he moved him thereafter and appointed him as the governor of Kufa. He remained as the governor of Kufa till the martyrdom of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He participated in the expeditions of Yamama as well as the conquest of Syria. On the day of Yarmouk, he lost his eyesight. After the martyrdom of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained separated from the trials and afflictions that beset the Ummah at that time. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu later on appointed him as the governor of Kufa. He remained there till his demise in the 50th year of Hijrah. We find that 136 ahadith are narrated by Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This particular hadith is a glaring example, as we mentioned previously, of the miracle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the mu'jizat which Allah ta'ala had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Jawami'ul Kalim, that he would at times just utter a few words, but the meaning of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be voluminous. In other words, it would take great, great lengthy explanation just to put forward the import of what was uttered in just a few words. And like I said, this is a classical example of that. In fact, some ulama say that the whole of akhlaq and the whole of character and Islamic conduct is contained in this one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah ta'ala harrama alaykum uquq al-ummahat. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon you. Allah ta'ala has totally forbidden uquq al-ummahat. The first part of this hadith is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced this hadith under the chapter Babu Tahrim al-Uquq wa Qati'at al-Rahim, the chapter dealing with the prohibition or the hurmat of disobedience towards one's parents and the severing of family ties. So the first part of the hadith, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made totally prohibited upon you the disobedience of the mother. Obviously, it's not only meant the mother, but the mother is generally the weaker of the two, hence more likely to be disrespected. This is why she is mentioned first. However, the prohibition covers both the parents, father and the mother. It is totally haram to make what is called uquq, that is disobedience towards them. But because, as I mentioned, the mother is the weaker of the two, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find in this and in other ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specially advised more kindness towards the mother than the father. Thereafter, the next prohibition which is mentioned in this hadith, this is an abbreviated expression, man'an wahat, What does it mean? Imam Nawawi rahimullah, under the context of this hadith, is mentioned, man umma wajaba alayhi wa hat talabu ma laysa lahu. The crux, or to simplify it for us, Allah Ta'ala has made haram upon you this concept of hoarding. In other words, holding back from spending that which is compulsory to spend, and at the same time desiring what others possess. This type of mindset, where a person is always hoarding, doesn't want to spend, not on himself also, and not on others also. Ulama explained that this stems from excessive love for the material world, excessive love for the dunya. And a person who lives his life like this, is despised by others, even his own family members, because obviously he's not spending upon them. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with wealth, yet he's not spending upon them, so he's despised by his family members. And such a person is always unhappy, because he keeps looking at what others have. And he is discontent, he will be gloomy all the time. We've mentioned this many times before. One of the glaring examples or aspects of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his generosity. Islam teaches us that a Muslim is someone that is generous. And we find that this was a very effective tool which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. And people were attracted towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people were attracted towards Islam. We find expressions in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a person so many goats and sheep that filled the space between a valley, between two mountains. So this person went back to his people and he said, Aslim, فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا يُعْطِي عَطَاءَ مَنْ لَا يَخْشَى فَاقَ. He said to his people, bring Islam, accept Islam, because in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam I've seen a man who spends to such an extent that he does not fear poverty. A Muslim is not one that hoards his wealth. The overriding principle that is given to us, we are given a nuskha and a prescription. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anfiq, spend, yunfaq alayk, Allah will spend on you. Spend, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spend upon you. Human nature, if this is not treated, human nature normally leans towards what we call bakhili or kanjusi or miserliness. And miserliness is something that is totally reprehensible in Islam. To such an extent, we find that one is Jannat. Then there is another Jannat, what we call VIP Jannat. I'm cutting it very short, time is limited. One is Jannat, then is VIP Jannat. VIP Jannat is Jannatul Firdaus. The highest Jannat. The crux of the riwayat, this is such a Jannat that ma min nabiyyin mursal, wala malakum muqarrab. No Nabi of Allah has even seen or knows what is in Firdaus in reality. No angel also knows what is in Firdaus. Such a Jannat. Allah placed a parda and seal over this Jannat. In the riwayat of Ibn al-Qayyim, it is mentioned, he says that on the day of judgment, Allah will say, i'tini bi hadiratil quds. Allah Ta'ala will command the malaika to bring this particular Jannat. It will be sealed, opened up on that day. Such a Jannat. And it is mentioned in the riwayat that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jannatul Firdaus, Allah addressed this Jannat and said, wa izzati wa jalali la yujawizuni fiki bakhil. By the qasam of my dignity and my honor, a miserly person will not enter you. Allah will not allow a miserly person to enter Jannatul Firdaus. So miserliness, this goes against the very grain of the akhlaq and character of Islam. One is, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran speaks of what we call bukhl and miserliness. What this hadith refers to is another stage. There is one stage worse than miserliness also. Ulama say a bakhil is one, a person who doesn't spend on his family, he doesn't spend on others. The stage higher than bakhil is in Arabic what we call shahih. Allah Ta'ala speaks of this in the Quran also. وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِي. Bakhil is one who doesn't spend on others. Shahi is one who doesn't spend on himself also. Worse than bakhil. It's just hoarding and collecting, putting the computer on in the morning, saying, now my wealth is gone here, now it's gone there, now it's gone there. Collecting and collecting, but he doesn't have the himmat either to spend on others also and to spend on himself also. Always hoarding and always looking with greed at what others have. Overriding principle we are given when it comes to spending on your family also, on others also. One is worldly spending for material needs in this world, and the other is spending in charity or spending for akhirat. Overriding principle Allah Ta'ala gives us when it comes to spending on your family and others for dunya. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. When it comes to your dunya and material things, Allah Ta'ala describes in the Quran the true slaves of Allah, the accepted ones. When they spend, they don't make israf, they are not extravagant, nor are they miserly. But وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They adopt moderation. Al-iqtisad fil ma'isha. They adopt moderation, middle road. Islam does not encourage hoarding. Spend on your family, even if it is worldly things, material things, but in moderation. And when it comes to charity, obviously, we mentioned anfiq yunfaq alayk. Spend there, Allah Ta'ala will give you back. Allah will give you back everything that you spend. Rasulullah SAW said, ma naqasa malu abdin min sadaqah. No one became poor through spending. So coming back to this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says, verily Allah Ta'ala has made prohibited, totally haram, disobedience towards one's parents. In the mother is mentioned specifically in this hadith, وَمَنْ عَنْ وَهَاتْ. Hoarding your wealth, failure to spend, and desiring, looking with the eye of greed, or usurping the wealth of others. Inshallah, we'll continue.